Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again. It's me. It's Vince. It has been quite some time, so welcome back to Movie Talk with Vince. How's everybody doing out there? I hope you're doing good. This week, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Halloween movies. It's Halloween now. Today, it is 10/31. That means it's October 31st. It's Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody. I'm going to talk about the Halloween movies. That is the movies with Mike Myers. Michael Myers, that is. Not Mike Myers, Mr. Austin Powers, but our masked serial killer, Mike Myers. And I'll be talking a little bit about that, talking about what I feel about each movie. But before I do, I want to just give a couple disclaimers out there. First of all, be warned, this is a movie show, so I will be doing spoilers. Then I'll try to stay away from it as much as I can. But, hey, you know, we're talking about movies that I've already seen. So beware, I may be giving away some important plot points. And also beware, too, you're going to be hearing what are called opinions. That's right. I'm going to tell you how I feel about the movies. Does that mean what I'm going to tell you is exactly what the movies are? No, I'm just going to tell you how I feel. If you're offended by opinions, well, then, well, you're crazy. I'm sorry. There's no reason to be offended. We all have opinions. We're all allowed to talk about things. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to talk, I'm going to give you my opinion of the movies, but at the end of the day, the only opinion that matters is yours. That's right. So what I will always say is don't take my word for it. I'm going to talk about the movies, talk about what I like about them, what I didn't like about them, but in the end, all that really matters is your own opinion. So go out, see the movies yourselves. So anyway, so that's it. So let's go in. Here we go with me with Movie Talk with Vince. And if you want to call in, the guest call in, of course, is always 914-205-5404. That's once again, 914-205-5404. And then you can join in on the talk, too. Anyway, so let's get going. Let's get this thing started. Halloween. Well, what was the Halloween movies? In theaters right now is still Halloween Ends, if you want to go catch out the latest installment of Michael Myers and his obsession with killing killing Laurie Strode, played by Jamie Lee Curtis. But let's go back to the beginning. Let's start it off. Right. Where did it all start? Well, about, I don't know, some 40 years ago at this point, in the year 1977, yes, when maybe, you may not even been born yet, I was about 7 years old. But when a producer by the name of Irwin Yablin said, hey, you know what? I produce low-budget movies, so I'm having a hard time finding low-budget movies to produce. So I might need to create my own. So he had just finished producing a movie called Assault on Precinct 13, written and directed by a young guy by the name of John Carpenter, and his writing partner and producer, Deborah Hill. And he thought, yeah, I should maybe talk to John, see what he could come up with. And Irwin had an idea. He thought at the time this new movie had just come out and done pretty well called Black Christmas. It was a horror movie set at Christmas time. So he thought, well, maybe we should do that. What other holidays are out there that could lend themselves to a horror movie? He thought, well, Halloween, of course. Jack-o'-lanterns, it's all about goblins and ghouls. Ooh, that's... And he looked around and he was shocked to find out that nobody had done a Halloween movie, a movie called Halloween. So he's like, this is great, perfect. So what we'll do is we'll have a movie set on Halloween night, and his idea for the plot would be the boogeyman to stalk a babysitter on Halloween night. Whole thing would be set on one night, very cheap. And so he went to John Carpenter, said, what do you think? John loved the idea. So they went to their producing partner, distributor, a man by the name of Mustafa Akkad, and he loved the idea. Because what he really loved about it was, number one, they were going to shoot it very cheaply. He was making a big epic film at the time that was costing $300,000 a day. They said the entire budget for this film would be $300,000. What I'm spending a day, you can make an entire movie on it. Yes, awesome, let's do it. What's the plot? Babysitter to be stalked by the boogeyman. Ooh, he loved the idea of having a babysitter. He thought everybody knows what a babysitter is. Right? Right? Awesome. So let's do it. Let's do it. So they're off and running. Now, so the first movie comes out in 1978, a movie called Halloween. set on Halloween night mostly. There's actually the first scene is actually set 15 years earlier on Halloween night, and then jumps to the day before Halloween, and then Halloween. So it's really two scenes that aren't set on Halloween. But the rest of it, the movie is all set on Halloween. Going on here. Anyway, boom. Excuse me. So they go up and play. Now, one of the best things about the first film was because it was on a low budget, they couldn't afford a lot of the things that you would usually get on with most movies. Yeah, they couldn't afford big name actors. So they could get one name actor, and that was about it. So they got a guy by the name of Donald Pleasence, noted British actor, very good. And he had his children had seen Assault on Precinct 13. So he was like, oh, I'll do it, sure. He was happy to work on a reduced salary. And he came in, I think they only needed him for about a week, so they had to squeeze everything, all the scenes that he would be in, it was in 1 week. And then the rest of the movie was then filled with mostly young, up-and-coming actors like P.J. Souls, who had just recently done the film Carrie, and Jamie Lee Curtis, who was on a TV show at the time, but had never made a movie before in her life. And although she came from Hollywood royalty, as they call it, Tony Curtis was her dad, still is, and Janet Leigh is her mom, who had starred in the movie Psycho, which, of course, made John Carpenter really excited, as that was one of his favorite horror movies, and a movie that he was playing and basically ripping off on Halloween, stealing a lot of the best ideas from Hitchcock and for his movie. And it was really, and for my money, the original Halloween works because of its limited scope. They couldn't afford big budget special effects, so all of the scares are done with, in shadow and using your imagination. So you couldn't see Michael doing anything really gory or graphic. Everything was done using your own imagination. And that's one of the reasons why the first film is so good, because of that, because your imagination works so much better than what you can see. When you see it, well, then you're limited by the effect. You're like, oh, well, that effect didn't look that good. Or you can see that, oh, that was a dummy or whatever. So for the most part, all the scares are in it are all in your head. And that's what made it so damn good. And for most people, do still consider the original Halloween one of the greatest horror movies ever made. And because of its limited scope. Now, not everything in the film still works. Some of it's a little dated, but overall, out of in the film, rate the films. The first film out of 10 stars, it has to be that one a 9.5, at least. It is nearly a perfect film. It's not a perfect film, but it's as close as you'll ever get. And it's as close as they ever got with the Halloween films. So what happens when you have a film that, when it's released, is a hit. And it was a hit, a major hit. Became one of the biggest, most successful independent films of all time, I think, until Pulp Fiction came out, which was about 15 years later, at least. So for the longest time, it held the record for being the most profitable independent film. So what happens when you have a profit? You make another one, of course. Why would you? So off they go, off they're running, to make Halloween 2 with, Jamie Lee comes back, Donald Pleasence comes back, and some of the other actors who hadn't been killed off in their first film come back. But now, here's the problem with Halloween 2. John Carpenter, when he wrote the original film, he wrote it in such a way that you wouldn't make a sequel. He didn't. I mean, yes, he at the end of the film, spoiler alert, the killer does get shot, but then he disappears. Where did he go? So most people felt, oh, well, you wrote to have a sequel. And he was like, no. The point of the film was that evil never dies. Where did he go? Well, that's the mystery. He didn't want to answer that, because once you answer the mystery, then it's not as mysterious anymore. So he wanted to keep it a mystery. Like, well, maybe Michael was sucked down in the bowels of hell or whatever. Who knows where he went? The devil, he was dead, so the devil brought him home. Who knows? Michael was the boogeyman. He wasn't supposed to be a real person or a normal person at the very least. He was evil incarnate. And the movie has probably one of the greatest final bits of dialogue in any film, when Dr. Loomis is killed, Michael, at least so we believe, Jamie Lee Curtis's character, Laurie Strode, is cowering in terror, and she just looks at him and says, "What's that, the boogeyman?" And he just looks at her and goes, "Yes, as a matter of fact, It was. And it's such a, and the, his delivery is perfect. But then he goes out, looks over the balcony where he, where Michael had just fallen, and Michael's not there. Where did he go? And see, that was supposed, and that was always, like I said, supposed to be the mystery. And Carpenter had never, had no intention of answering that. But Mustafa said, no, we have to answer. We need Halloween too. So back to the drawing board, Carpenter goes. He says after a night of drinking, he sat behind the typewriter. He had no intention of directing Halloween 2, but he would write it, and he would produce it. So he, you know, goes behind the typewriter, and he comes up with the idea. Okay, Michael gets up, and he's now stalking more people throughout the town. We'll continue on from the same night. So the second film is going to take place in the same night as the first one. It's not 2 years later. It's the same night. It's a complete continuation of the first film. And Laurie's now been taken to the hospital, so of course Michael then goes just tracking down to the hospital. Only has one final battle with her. And, you know, but Carpenter's kept thinking, yeah, but there still needs to be a hook. I still need to have something else. It can't just be Halloween again or more Halloween. You need to have something else. So he came up with the idea after a night of heavy drinking of make a brother and sister. Why the hell not? But now there's a reason why Michael is stalking her. And most people, I'll admit at the time, myself included, I was probably 11, 12 years old when the second film came out. And I loved it. I bought right into it. Most people did. And for years and years and years, that became the hook of the story, was that, ooh, Michael and Lori were actually brother and sister. That's why he was stalking her. Oh, my God. No, I get it. But originally, that was not the case. Originally, it was just, he was just stalking her because, you know, he had just run into her earlier in the day and became obsessed with her. But now, of course, we had to have a hook. You had to have something, and that became the hook. Film better? No. And also the other thing, too, with the new director that came in, Rick Rosenthal, was hired mostly because, you know, he seemed to have some talent, but he was a first-time director. And being a first-time director meant that he would do whatever John Carpenter said. So in essence, Halloween 2 is basically a John Carpenter film still, because Rick Rosenthal is just directing the film not as Rick Rosenthal would direct it, but the way John Carpenter would direct it if he was directing it. Same reason why, same thing with the Star Wars movies. Empire, Return of the Jedi are both basically George Lucas movies. George just didn't want to have to do the physical directing himself, so he hired somebody to do the directing that he would have done if he had the time, and he didn't have the time. So overall, it's still a fine movie, but in the years that had happened since the first one would come out, a lot of other horror movies that, you know, had come out that blatantly ripped off Halloween, but now had been much more gorier. So Carpenter thought, well, with our film, we have to go gorier. We can't just give audiences the same thing that we gave them last time. We have to give them a little bit more, which meant the hook of them, Michael Myers being the brother and sister, and also more gore. So the second film comes out, and it is gorier. Feels like Halloween, but it's missing a little bit. Overall, I still love Halloween 2, but it's not as good as the first one. It's fine. It does its job. It's just that the first one did its job and did more. This one doesn't do any more. It actually probably does a little bit less because of the feeling of we have to be gorier. So it's fine, but I would probably give it an 8 out of 10. Whereas the first film is a 9.5. It's not as good, but it's fine. Then it comes around with Halloween 3. And the biggest problem with Halloween 3 was that now Carpenter was really done with Michael Myers. He was like, I don't want to do another one of these films. Otherwise, it's just like Michael Myers coming back over and over again. How scary is that going to be? And he just was sick and tired of writing the same story over and over again. So he wanted to write something completely fresh. Now, Halloween 3 works because of that, because it meant to be more of an anthology. This way, every film would be a completely different story. And Halloween 3 is a completely different story. It's not, there's no Michael Myers, there's no Dr. Loomis, none of the characters are in it. It's not even set in the same state. First one was set out in Illinois, this one's set in California. And it dealt with an evil toy maker whose mad plan was to steal pieces of Stonehenge and use it to create Halloween masks that on Halloween night would kill everybody wearing them. Because he wanted to bring back the whole notion of that making Halloween scary again and go back to the original holiday of Samhain, which is all about witchcraft. And it's the title, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Now, overall, the movie Halloween 3. It's a good movie. It's very creepy. Dated, sure, but at the time it was very creepy and very scary, but it wasn't Halloween 3. Whenever you call a movie Halloween 3, people are expecting it to be Halloween Part 3, a continuation or a sequel to Halloween 2, and it wasn't. It was a completely different movie, completely original, with the wrong title. So that title just killed it. But overall, I would say it's an 8.5. It's a better film than Halloween 2, but it's not as good as the original Halloween, but it's an improvement over 2, but it's got the wrong title. The title really should have been Season of the Witch, a Halloween story, or Halloween, Season of the Witch. Get rid of the 3. Putting the number 3 on it made everybody think this was going to be Halloween Part 3, and it isn't. It isn't Halloween Part 3 at all. It's a reboot. It's a restart. And they had just called it Halloween Season of the Witch, or Season of the Witch, a Halloween story. They might have been able to keep going because they wouldn't have, you know, tricked the audiences. The audiences felt, I think, gypped. So they didn't go. They didn't care. They complained. So then they just let the Halloween franchise sit for a while. Then as the 10th anniversary was coming out, other horror monsters were making it really big at the box office. Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, Leatherface, I think they started making, you know, sequels to that one. Hellraiser had just come out. So there was all these horror movies coming out, and the producers of Halloween said, well, we need to bring back Michael Myers. So Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, aptly titled, comes out. At this point, John Carpenter had sold his interest in the film. He said, I'm done. He wanted to have no more to do with, you know, bringing Michael Myers back. He thought that was a stupid idea. So he leaves the project to get a new director, new writers, and Mustafa Akkad now has complete control over the franchise and just starts cranking them out. Halloween 4, Halloween 5, Halloween 6. Fine movies, but they're very cookie-cutter, generic horror films. Very typical 80s horror. A lot of gore, but with no real continuity. Jamie Lee Curtis decided that she didn't want to come back, so they had to come up with a new plot line. So Michael Myers is in a coma. He got burned up at the end of Halloween 2. Doesn't matter. He was in a coma. He survived. Because he's Michael Myers. That's, you know, whatever. And Jamie Lee Curtis won't come back. So, okay, she's dead. She got killed in a car accident in the last 10 years. But she had a daughter. Now Michael Myers is after her daughter. Ooh, okay. And now, overall, Halloween 4 is a fine movie. It's not as creepy. It's gorier. It's based more along the lines of Halloween 2, but not nearly as good. And but it does have a really great ending. Spoiler alert, here comes the ending. And the ending of the film, Myers has, you know, been stalking this little girl, and she's got her stepsister, and the two of them are in a truck. They hit Michael Myers with the truck, and he gets knocked over. He's unconscious. The little girl goes over to him, goes and touches his hand. And her stepsister says, no, Jamie. The character's name is Jamie. Don't do that. The police come. Michael Myers stands up. He's alive. They blow him away. He falls down into a well. Now we think, oh, Michael Myers is finally dead. He's gone. They go back home. Everybody, they start running a bath for little Jamie. She's, you know, traumatized. So they start running a bath for her. Well, at which point we now cut to Jamie's point of view. She puts on her Halloween mask, and we see her pick up a big pair of scissors. She walks into the bathroom where her stepmother is running the bath, and we see her start stabbing. And we hear the screaming. Cut downstairs, and everybody looking up the stairs like, what's going on? What's going on? Cut to a shot of little Jamie now, who, like I said, she's little. She's supposed to be, I think, about, I think she's like 7 or 8 years old. And she's, you know, covered in blood, with the scissors covered in blood, holding them there, where it looks like she just killed her stepmother. Oh, my God. Curtain. Credits. A very moving and creepy and scary ending, which made everybody, in, at least in my opinion, at the time, oh, my God, it was the best part of this movie, was that ending. It was incredible. But, and so they, so everybody thought, okay, great, the next one, we'll see more of Jamie as the killer. But, no. The movie became a huge hit, made it more money than I think any other Halloween films at the time. Thought, okay, let's get the sequel to Halloween 4 out in theaters right away. So they rushed the other one into production. Now, I think if they had taken their time, they might have been able to, and I think what would have been a better idea is if they had taken their time, then they might have come up with a storyline where Jamie was a little bit older. You could have used the same actress, but now if you waited 5 years, she's no longer 9 or 10 years old. Maybe she's now a preteen, and she's been locked up now, killing her sister, her stepmother, and now the spirit of Michael is in her. You could have brought back Michael too. Could have had a really cool story, but they didn't do that. Instead, they rushed it into production, and so it's now set a year later, and. The problem with Halloween 5 is that it was competing with Halloween 4, because by the time 5 came out, Halloween 4 was just coming on video, being put on TV, on cable channels, like HBO, and so now people didn't know which one to see. And Halloween 5, you know, changed directors again. They changed the mask. The actor playing Michael now was not – what I always think is funny is it was now built much bulkier again. So suddenly Michael got his height and his weight changed. It was like – you don't see his face. You can tell it's not even the same person anymore. And the mask is completely different. So it just became a little bit – the continuity became a little bit strange. But overall, you know, the story is fine. But, again, it's gorier, which is cool. But it's not as scary. Some of the new characters are a little bit annoying. So overall, we're taking another dip now. If I give Halloween 3 an 8.5, I would have to give Halloween 4 probably a 7. And Halloween 5 is 6.5. It's, again, they're starting to dip in quality. And then they followed that up with Halloween 6, where, again, the problem with that one was they had a writer who came in who was a huge fan of the franchise, came up with what was going to be a really cool story. But once they filmed it, they decided they didn't like his story. They made him make changes. So they shot this film. At this point, Donald Pleasance was, in essence, dying. This became his last film. And his health was really deteriorating. He was barely able to do anything. I think they had to give him oxygen in between takes. His health was just going. But he still remained upbeat, still wanted to do the film. But when they shot the film, they didn't like the ending. But at this point, Donald Pleasance passes away. So they weren't able to do any reshoots and reshoot the ending with Donald Pleasance. Not to come up with a new ending that he's not in, but they cut pieces from the original ending into it. And it just doesn't make any sense. So I won't give you too much away about the ending because it's not even worth it, but all I can tell you is the new ending, you know, if you ever, they do have now two versions of the film that you can watch, the producer's cut, which is the original cut of the film, and the theatrical cut, in which they took the ending of the producer's cut and completely changed it, reshot scenes, and then adds in this whole bit at the end where Loomis says, he tells everyone that, you know, goodbye as they're going to leave, and then you just hear him screaming, like, what just happened? And it doesn't make any sense. It almost like it's like a thing that comes out of nowhere. So it just didn't work. But it did give us Paul Rudd in one of his first roles before Clueless. So we have Ant-Man. But yeah, overall, now we have to dip down. I would give this one a 5-star out of 10, and even that I'm probably being generous. So now the franchise is. The fans are like, yeah, the franchise is really going downhill. The 20th anniversary comes up, so then we'll do Halloween H2O. At 20th anniversary, Jamie Lee comes back, and it's a decent film. It's very much inspired by Scream, but it's not really that scary. They had a hard time with bringing the mask back. So overall, the film works. It's better than the last couple of sequels, but it's not on par with even the second film. So I would say it's an improvement, but it's still only probably about a 7. It's not that scary. It's okay. It does its job. It does its job better than, you know, 4, 5, and 6, but it's still not a great movie. But it's much better than the follow-up Halloween Resurrection, in which they said, let's continue. But Jamie Lee said, okay, but I want my character to die in the beginning of the film. I'm not coming back and doing these movies over and over again. So they kill off her character in the beginning, and unfortunately, once her character dies, the quality of the film sinks with it too. Rick Rosenthal, the director of Part 2, came back to direct this one. And even though the story, I think, is an interesting idea, it just gets to be really goofy to the point where it's almost laughable. And the acting in it is absolutely terrible. And some of these actors have gone on to do some really big things. But this was not a good showcase for anybody in that film, except for Jamie Lee. She wisely gets killed in the beginning of the movie. So now we're back down to, I would say, at least I would give this movie a 4. At this point, the franchise is in a real lull. So they bring it back now with Rob Zombie coming back and directing Halloween, a remake of the original, which was completely pointless. The best thing about Rob Zombie's Halloween was that it was actually scary. It's actually a really good movie, but we've already seen this movie done. It takes the same plot of Halloween and redoes it and gives Michael Myers much more of a backstory, which is, to me, completely unnecessary. Is the movie gory? Yes. It's very much a Rob Zombie film. So in that respect, it's very gory. It's the most gory of all the Halloween films, and it's the most realistic of all the Halloween films. But, again, we've already seen this. And it doesn't retain the scares of the original, because the original was done in a real more interesting way. And this film is fine. It's better than anything that had been produced before, but still not up there on par with the original. I would put it on par with Halloween 2. So I would give this film like an 8.5. It's creepy. It's scary. But it's a movie we've already seen. Halloween, then he does a sequel to that, which then goes in a really weird route, changing Dr. Loomis's character around, making him a real jerk. And also, and then depending on which version of the film you saw, actually gives Michael Myers a voice. And you see Michael Myers' face too much, in my opinion. And also adds these weird dream sequences that don't really add to the film. I'm sure Zombie was really proud of it, but fans were like, eh. So most fans hated that one. I was not a big fan either. And so I have to give that one, it's better than some of the other sequels, but I would say it's about a 7. Some people give it much lower. I give it a 7. So now Blumhouse Productions come in and say, well, we want to bring back. So that's where we are now. Blumhouse comes back with a new take on the franchise. They keep the original film, ignore all the other sequels, including Halloween 2, say this time around Michael Myers is not the brother and sister of Laurie Strode. Now, this time around, Laurie, it's 40 years later. She's been hiding out, waiting for Michael to return. He's been locked up all this time. He gets out, goes on a rampage, and overall, Halloween, in my opinion, works, as they called it. Although my big problem, again, is the title. It's supposed to be a sequel to Halloween, but they just called it Halloween. I'm like, so the sequel to Halloween is Halloween? And I personally would have given it its own title, like Halloween Returns or Halloween Reborn or something like that. Halloween Reborn, I think, could have been a good title. So that's why I was thinking of it, because that's really what it is. Michael Myers is back. Jamie Lee is back, and overall the movie works into an interesting story, has a great ending, but you know that Michael is probably still alive. Halloween Kills comes out, and they brought back most of the actors from the first film who hadn't worked since the first film, and they come up with what I thought was a really interesting story, but I think they went way overboard for it, and a lot of fans, I think, agree with me on that one. I like the idea of Halloween Kills, in which the basic plot line is now the town has been, just like Jamie, been waiting for Michael to return, and it's now 2 years, I think, supposed to be since the last film, since Halloween, and then now, or maybe a year later, and Michael comes back again. The whole town now rallies to try and kill him. They can't kill him for some reason, and this is something new for the franchise. That is, when you kill Michael, he becomes stronger. He becomes stronger with every kill. And now, every time he kills somebody, he becomes much more inhuman and much stronger. And so eventually the whole town rallies up against him. He kills more people and then takes off. Boom, he's out. He's gone. Bye-bye. And disappears off into the night, leaving for the new film, Halloween Ends. And here we go. We're coming to the end of my show, so we'll get to the end of the franchise. So wrapping up, how does Halloween End? Well, I like Halloween Ends. My only biggest problem with it is that, and I know a lot of people hated it, but I liked it because to me it's actually three different really good films. It's just each film should have been developed in its own story. There's a story of a new kid who wants to follow in the footsteps of Michael Myers because he accidentally kills the kid on Halloween night, and the whole town, you know, berates him, and it just ruins his life to the point where he delves into insanity and becomes obsessed with Michael himself. Michael comes back, and we finally have the big duke amount between Laurie Strode and Michael Myers. I would suggest going to see the movie because I really liked it, but I wasn't crazy about it. It was, to me, an improvement over Kills, but there was a lot of part of Kills that I liked a little bit better because Kills was actually more violent. It felt more like a Halloween movie, whereas this one felt, well, so I would probably give it a 7, and Halloween Ends probably about a 7.5. It's not a great movie, but it's an improvement. Anyway, so that's the end of my show. So I will say goodnight to you all. Thank you for listening. And I'll end off with a little music here. And tell everybody, go to the movies. Go check them out. There's a lot of great stuff out there. So next week I'll talk about a little bit. Who knows? We'll see. I think next week I may be talking about The Lord of the Rings. So anyway, have a great night, everybody. Thanks for listening, and take care.
Sad and lonely, and all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, I bet you I'm gone.